So what we're doing tonight is about sensory reception of certain things, right? Just want to give you a little bit of background information that might be a repeat of what you've already learned in class. I don't know. Have you done sensory stuff yet? Okay. So maybe it'll get repeated in lecture after me. But anyway, let me see what order I want to say these in. Well, okay, first of all, anatomically speaking, you have an entire nervous system, of course. And by the way, you already should know this because of doing the tissue types lab. Well, I can't remember when it was, but you did it, right? You looked at epithelia and everything. What two kinds of cells make up the nervous system? Neurons and neuroglia, yes. Remember that neuroglia are also parts of the nervous system, but they aren't the cells that actually transmit impulses. They're not excitable. They just support the excitable cells, which are the neurons. Anyway, though, you have an overall nervous system. That's the whole thing when you just say the nervous system. But there, it can be broken down hierarchically. I'm not going to go through all the divisions. But the overall nervous system can be broken down into two major subdivisions. What are those? Anatomically speaking. The central nervous system.
Peripheral.
And the peripheral nervous system. Good. Now, can you tell me what the components of the central nervous system are? The brain and the spinal cord are the central nervous system. The peripheral nervous system, and peripheral just means on the edges. The periphery is the edge. The peripheral nervous system is everything else that's in the nervous system, but that's not the brain and spinal cord. Well, the central nervous system is the processing part of the nervous system. And the peripheral nervous system is all about sending information. But the peripheral nervous system sends information in two directions. It sends information toward the central nervous system, brain and spinal cord, so that the brain and spinal cord can do some processing of that information. But then the central nervous system, after having processed that information, sends information out of itself toward the rest of the body through the peripheral nervous system. So the peripheral nervous system transmits inputs into the central nervous system, and it transmits outputs from the central nervous system. Now, anatomically, what we call a nerve is not a single cell. It's many cells bundled together like a cable, is a lot of strands running in parallel. Those individual cells are neurons. But a nerve is a bunch of individual neurons, and so it's kind of like a multi-lane highway in two directions. Some of those neurons are sending information toward the central nervous system. Other ones in that same nerve are sending impulses away from the central nervous system in the opposite direction. So nerves are two-way streets, basically, as far as flow of information is concerned. And so the peripheral nervous system can be broken down into two subdivisions of itself based on that direction of information flow. So hopefully it's clear that sensory information would be input into the central nervous system, right? The central nervous system receives information about the rest of your body or about the outside world by having information sent toward the central nervous system. That's an input into the central nervous system. But that information comes in through peripheral neurons that are said to be sensory neurons. Sensory information, in other words, is incoming toward the central nervous system. And we have a special word that describes that, which is afferent. Afferent with an A means coming toward. And so in terms of nervous information, afferent means being sent toward the central nervous system. And so afferent information is sensory information. The antonym of that is efferent, with an E, but otherwise the same. Efferent means moving away from. So for the nervous system, efferent means information that is moving away from the central nervous system. It's coming out of the central nervous system and going toward the rest of the body. That is what kind of... Well, let me just do it by SAT analogy. Afferent is to sensory as efferent is to what?
Motor,
right. So those are the two main subdivisions of the peripheral nervous system, the sensory division and the motor division. Motor is efferent information. Motor gets its name because it causes things to move. Well, that can be actually a muscle moving, whether it's a smooth muscle or a skeletal muscle or a cardiac muscle. They all move. But motor can also refer to a gland secreting in response to that stimulus, or in response to that nervous output. In both cases, motor information gets things going. It either gets a gland secreting or it gets a muscle moving. And that's efferent information. That's coming from the central nervous system. Sensory information is toward it. And it tells the central nervous system how conditions are. What the temperature is, for instance. Whether this thing hurts. You know, whatever. Okay, so what else do I want to say about the nervous system in general? I guess that's it as far as the overview of the system is concerned. Now, what you're doing tonight are just a bunch... Before I actually get into that, let me tell you a few things that you likely were incorrectly taught in grade school. You grow up being taught that there are five senses. You know, everyone learns that in grade school, that there are five senses. That's not actually true. There's many more than five senses. But even before we start numbering them, let me say that there are two classes of senses. And those are general senses and special senses. And there's multiple examples of each of those two classes. What makes something a special sense is that there is a special, highly specialized and highly localized organ to take care of that sense, to do the job of sending that information toward the brain. So it's a well-defined organ. It's not just a simple nerve ending, for instance. It's a well-defined organ. And it's just one place in the body. Now, these special sense organs are not only localized, they are localized together. They're in the head. So you have things like eyes, for instance. That's a well-defined organ, a highly complex organ, just to take care of the special sense that we call vision, for instance. Right? General senses, on the other hand, don't have really highly complex organs. They can be somewhat complex, but not compared to the special sense organs. But even more importantly, as far as their difference compared to special senses, general sense organs are not localized. They're spread out, mostly on the surface of the body or somewhere shallow within the body. Not too far deep for most of them. So those are the general senses, and there's several general senses as well. So you were probably taught that there were these five senses. First of all, when they said sense in that case, they were just really meaning special senses. And they were not even telling you about the existence of general senses, really. But it is true that there are five special senses. It's just that they're not the five senses that you learned. They overlap by four. One of the five that you were taught is not a special sense, though. What is that?
Touch.
Yes, touch, which is also called taction. Are these words in your handout? I don't remember. Taction is another word for touch, the sense of touch. Yeah, that's a general sense. You don't just feel things in your head and special touch organs, right? They're all over your skin and deeper in your body. So what are the other four that you learned that are officially special senses? Sight or vision, taste or gustation, which is why gustatory means of taste, G-U-S-T-A-T-I-O-N. Hearing or audition.
Olfactory.
Smell or olfaction. And so those, along with touch, are the five you learned as a kid. But there's one more that's a special sense that you didn't learn, probably. And what is that? What is it?
Pain.
No, pain is general. I can shoot you in your leg, you're still going to be in pain. No, because that's not technically sense. That's something that's happening in the brain to begin with. No, that's general. That's a pressure, vibration, light touch. All those things are part of taction, but there's different kinds of receptors for them. What else do we have highly specialized organs for in the head? Photoreceptors are the eyes. And remind me to talk about that for a second after I'm done. No, it's balance, which some books call equilibrium, but that's really not as good a name as balance, as far as I'm concerned, because equilibrium, you can confuse it with the other use of the word in biology. Yeah, balance. So the ears, which are specialized sense organs, do double duty. They're the organs of audition, of course, hearing, but they're also the organs of balance, which is its own special sense. Okay? Now, about the receptor types. It's another thing I wanted to cover real quickly. There's different kinds of receptors. Well, there's many specific examples of receptors, but there are also classes of receptors. The receptor is the thing that actually is able to transduce the stimulus. To transduce means to change from one form into another. For instance, a loudspeaker is a transducer because it changes the AC signal, the electrical signal that comes through the speaker cable, into electromechanical energy that moves the cone. Okay? By the way, your eardrums are transducers for the same reason. They're just operating in reverse. They're like microphones. But anyway, a stimulus is an event that causes some sort of transducer to create a nervous signal. And what is the phrase that we give to a nervous signal? An action potential. Yes, good. So there's all kinds of receptors, and their job is to respond to a stimulus, if it's there, by creating an action potential, which is how the signal gets to the central nervous system. And then based on where that signal's coming from, because really all action potentials are the same, but the brain knows where they're coming from. It's like looking at what specific phone line is being used. It knows where it's coming from, and therefore it gives you the sensation differently, depending on whether it's a photon hitting your eye, in which case it creates the image in your brain. Now, you don't see with your eyes, you don't hear with your ears. You use those things to get the stimulus, to collect the stimulus, basically, to recognize the stimulus and send information to your brain. But your brain, by processing that information, creates the sensation, which is why, you know, in surgery, you can touch parts of the brain and the person will hear music or see light or whatever, depending on what you're stimulating in the brain, because it's mimicking the input of information from the nerves under normal situations. So anyway, these different classes of receptors are transducers, but they respond to different kind of stimuli. Well, we name them based on the kind of stimuli they transduce or respond to. And that's why there are classes like photoreceptors, which respond to light. That's what you have in the retinas of your eyes. Your rods and cones are photoreceptors. There are also chemoreceptors, which respond to the presence of specific kinds of chemicals. And what two special senses involve chemoreceptors?
Taste
or gustation, and smell or olfaction. Yes, they operate very similar to each other. If the chemical is there, it creates an action potential, the brain knows about it. But there are only certain things that you can taste and smell simply because there's only certain kinds of molecules that can cause those action potentials. If your chemoreceptors don't recognize it, you don't know it's there. So when we say that something has a taste, it's not that thing that actually has the taste. It's just the presence of that thing that creates an action potential in your specific body that creates the sensation. And that taste is part of you. It's not part of the object. And when we say something has no taste, that just means it doesn't create taste in us. It doesn't mean other things can't taste it. Okay, there are also mechanoreceptors. And mechanoreceptors respond to some sort of deformation, squeezing, bending, pushing on, something like that. So obviously traction involves mechanoreceptors. What other major kind of receptors are there? Audition is mechanoreceptors, because those things respond to deformation of the basilar membrane in the cochlea of the ear. Pretty cool device if you ever get a chance to check out how the ear works. I don't know how deeply you get into it in this class, but it's my favorite organ. Cutaneous receptors are also mostly mechanoreceptors because they're all involved in touch. Let's see, are there any others that I want you to know about? I guess not. Those are the three major ones. Now, as far as what you're doing today, it's really just working in groups and doing things to each other and writing down your experiences on the worksheet. So everyone knew that you had to print out two things for today, right? Basically the instructions and then where you write your answers. I think in the instruction part, there's nothing to write on that, right? So there's no need to hand that in. Just hand in the instruction sheet next time. Okay. You can hand in the whole packet if you want, or just the only part I need or anything that you write on, however you want to give it to me, but staple it all together once you finally hand it in. The part that... if you've never done that, that's a pretty cool thing over there where you put both hands in ice water for as long as you can tolerate it. You have to put the ice in the in this bath, by the way. He just kept it here so it wouldn't melt. Yeah, well, this is the cold water, of course. No. You put them both in. One in cold and one in warm. Yeah, and then you put them both in lukewarm. But last time we had the hot water way too hot. I don't think it is any this time around. But no, it's not. It's definitely. If I can take it, you can take it. But even still, though, don't put your hand right on the bottom where the heating element is. Just put your hand in the water. Okay. So this is the. But that's a pretty cool. What it does to your brain is pretty cool. The ones over here, which are different tastes. By the way, let me just talk for a second about taste. Gustation. Another thing you were probably taught in grade school is that there's four different classes of taste. Four kinds of taste buds on your tongue. And that used to be true because that's all we knew about. And that's what scientific truth is what we know at the moment, right? It changes. So what were the four that you learned? Sweet, sour, bitter, and what? Salty, right. Well, we've fairly recently discovered a fifth one. What is that called? Yeah, it's on the Kikkoman commercial. It's a Japanese word. Umami. One of my very first words as a baby. UMAMI. And umami is it's Japanese roughly for deliciousness, but it's savory taste. You know what I mean by savory? Meaty taste versus savory versus sweet, for instance, in cooking. It's specifically, though, is as far as chemoreception is concerned, the receptors for umami respond to the presence of glutamate, which is why monosodium glutamate, MSG, is such a flavor enhancer, because we have receptors specifically for that glutamate. And that's what gives us the sensation of that savoriness. Okay, so that's the fifth one. So what you're doing on that one, notice there's five things here. They're just numbered. So the idea here is that you don't know which of these tastes are which. Each is one. There's no repeats. So all five are represented here. But the idea is for you to have someone else dab different parts of your tongue with these. Dip it in there. Put it on your tongue, and see how not only how they taste different from each other, but how the same one on different parts of your tongue can give you different sensations. The same taste. The same tastant, actually. The molecules that cause taste are called tastants. The molecules that cause the sensation of odors are called odorants. So the things that we can smell are odorants. The things that we can taste are tastants. A-N-T at the end of those words. Okay, and the rest, I think you can just figure out. By the way, for part of it, you are using needles on the back of the neck. None of this. No blood tonight. But I'll leave you alone for the rest of it. It's pretty straightforward.